Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Box Mining live stream here. Today, we have a lot of discussion. I mean, obviously, the markets are down. I just showed you guys the market falling quite a bit this morning. We're back down on ETH all the way down to 3,129. Bitcoin is, you know, holding strong at $40,000, but big red candles here. Binance coin is below 500 again. It's pretty savage today. And a lot of it obviously has to do with the final bit of FUD coming into the market. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. That is a China FUD. Everyone's talking about this. Let's get down to business. So we'll be covering a lot of the thoughts on the market. Obviously, like I said, you know, we have a lot of cool guests here. So I just want to do an intro again. So we have Nathan from CryptoNuts. He's doing super good work on YouTube. We also have Ralph from ScaleSwap. He's all the way based in Zug, the crypto valley. 5 a.m. right there, 5 a.m. right early in the morning in Zug. But Ralph is doing some crazy good stuff, and we're going to talk a little bit about ScaleSwap and Layer 2 as well in today's episode. And obviously, we've been, you know, all been in a space for a while. We're all used to FUD. We're kind of now used to YouTube going down. Nothing is going to stop us, guys. Nothing. Well, nothing is going to stop us. So the show must go on. Let's get started. And let's just talk about the market overall. I mean, obviously, this week has been quite brutal on nearly everyone here. I think we haven't seen down for a while now, right? If you look at crypto, you know, past few months, it's up only. But now we have a little bit of down. Are you guys concerned? Are you guys worried? What is happening, guys?
Not really concerned. I'm not concerned at all. I feel like this is kind of needed. It's been only up for a while. I mean, I've also been only up for a while. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just, it's just like 24/7. And I mean, it's like a wave, right? Like waves and water, like what goes up must come down. And I mean, I feel like this China FUD that we've heard, it's the same story. I mean, 2017 was the same. Remember? So.
Absolutely. I mean, Ralph, have you survived through the China FUD? You know, did that happen? Or where were you when China FUDed last time?
Oh, I don't remember exactly, but I'm now since 4.5 years full-time in blockchain. So a lot of up and downs. But to be honest, I'm also not too concerned about the market movements at the moment. It would have been a different story 2 years back. You know, less adoption, less institutional money that's flowing in. There it was, let's say, a different situation. But nowadays, you know, it's very normal, as Nate said, that there is a little bit of consolidation, a little bit of, you know, I think it's a normal market movement. And as long as there are no real horrible messages out there, I think it's all fine. Simple market correction.
Yeah. So let's take a look at what people have been reading. I mean, this seems to be the main culprit for the fear, uncertainty, and doubt, which is an article on Reuters. This is published 4 hours ago. It says China bans financial payment institutions from cryptocurrency business. So China's banned. So this is the article that Reuters put out. And it's kind of interesting, right? Because this is targeting people who have whose first time in crypto. Because obviously, mm-hmm. you know, if for anyone who's been here before, we've seen China ban crypto like a million times, right? Like a recurring meme that happens every 6 months. Oh, China bans mining. And then we discover that, you know, miners are still happily running their mines in China. Oh, China bans exchanges. Well, okay, everyone just migrated to OTCs, right? Oh, China bans institutions. Well, didn't they do that like 3 or 4 years ago, 3 years ago? You know, like, how many times can you stab crypto here? So obviously this article is very geared towards people who are new to crypto, especially people who haven't been in a space for a long time. They'll start thinking, oh my God, is there a big change in Chinese policy regarding crypto? And honestly, for us who have been here for a long time, the answer is there's no change. China has never been friendly to crypto. And in fact, the kind of the article that really came out of here. So if you look at the source of all this, what China is really saying, and this is in Chinese right now. So let me just give a very quick Google Translate for this going on here. Let's just put that up here. Nice. So first and foremost, we got Chinese Internet Finance Association, Chinese Banking Association, Clear Association announced a preventing the risk of hype in virtual currency transactions. So this is kind of something put out by the People's Bank of China. We know PBOC, the governing bank of China, they have been very unfriendly to crypto. So I'll give you a quick rundown. This is really China trying to stop the kind of the hype going on in the space. So One thing that we know in China, what happens is that even though ICOs have been made illegal in 2017, we know that back kind of in the underground, in the gray market, is quite active still. So we have a few interviews from people who are in Beijing and, you know, that were willing to speak out and say, look, it's just absolute bananas out there. And China, a lot of people fall victim to this type of investment. So the government just issuing out this warning yet again is, it's really a sign that crypto is getting very popular, that the government has to do this. And they have to pull out their only card, which is to say they're banning crypto again. So it's something we're very used to. But obviously, because it got really, it got really mainstream very fast, people started retweeting this. And I think this is something that, that's very well warned on the Reddit threads. I was looking at this on Reddit as well. You know, they didn't and can't bind anything. These associations are just a document basically giving the opinion. The FUD news is misleading and incorrectly translated. So that's kind of the kind of gist of this right now. I do want to add a few comments onto this though, coming out of China. Chinese institutions were very interesting, right? They were actually going into crypto. So the biggest one was Meitu. So Meitu, they kind of follow Elon Musk's his example. You know, like a lot of Chinese companies, they love Elon, right? So because Elon bought Bitcoin with Tesla, so Meitu instantly just did the same thing. They're like, oh yeah, we're gonna totally buy Bitcoin. So I kind of see that this is something that Chinese banks are trying to stop at this current point, where they're saying, you know what? Yeah, let's kind of keep this down low. So I think the real impact here would be, I think, yes, you know, China's banning crypto, but I think a lot of institutions in China will get the message that, you know, don't, you know, let's not announce that we're going to acquire $1 billion of Bitcoin, right? I think that's kind of clear. So that would be the real impact of this. I think, you know, reading between the lines, you know, the government putting this out, you know, they said, hey, yo, it's not kosher talking about this anymore. So I think this is kind of the biggest impact of the China FUD. Now, obviously, there will be the other big impact is just coming from people retweeting this, you know, yet again, you know, people who haven't been in the crypto space for a long time, especially we see that this wave, it brought a lot of people from TikTok, you know, like I have like people looking at TikTok and just sending me stuff. And it's like, you know, a lot of people who come into the space for the first time, they don't understand what's going on and they're easily freaked out. Right. So I kind of feel like this is kind of the knee-jerk reaction to this. I mean, it happens almost every single time. So yeah, that's my current thoughts on this. Ralph, do you interact with China a lot on your side, you know, like, or is that, you know, kind of already, you know, not allowed?
In general, we are pretty active over there. So we have also a team member, Jesse, who is also actively building up, let's say, the local community. Mm-hmm. Actually, we will have an AMA also later today. Nice. With the Chinese community. So we are pretty active with several local communities, mm-hmm. including China. I think it's and in general an important market, you know. And yeah, as you said, you know, we've been through that several times with what's happening, you know, with these official publications and bands or overall we continue there our path, let's say, building communities on a global scale, including China, definitely. So
And I think it's quite, I think it's quite important to emphasize, you know, two points. I think China, after all these fights, is not going to disappear. People who believe in crypto, who people who believe in blockchain, people who believe in the tech here, you know, this is one of the biggest values in crypto, is that it is decentralized, right? Mm-hmm. So I think in that sense, I think there's a lot of people who do believe this, there's a huge community there, right? And if you look at early investments into something like Ethereum and Polkadot, you see a lot of Chinese presence there. So I don't think they're going to go away anytime this year. I think they survived multiple bans, and I'm glad to hear that you're building a community there. On Nate's side, are you concerned, Nate, about all this China flood?
Nah, man, I'm not concerned at all. It doesn't even bother me. I feel like I have a good idea of kind of how, on a macro level, how everything's been working. Because I went through, in 2017, I was panicking. I remember, like, there was an India flood, I was panicking. You know, European flood, anytime.
Panicking. Korea flood, India flood. Man, I still remember people were just like endlessly talking about the India flood, right? India government's like, this draft paper was going to come through to ban all cryptocurrencies or whatnot. I think that was a thing, right? Remember? And then someone was like, this is like, the English on this document doesn't even make sense. It's just like, who wrote this? Right? Who wrote this? All right, like a 3-year-old, you know, it's like this draft, you know, regulation and stuff. It's kind of crazy. So yeah. I think we're kind of used to this. I mean, it's very crypto to read headlines only, and most of the times the headlines are just bogus. It's just kind of like the whole Binance flood, you know, the Justice Department investigating Binance. It turns out that Binance is just cooperating with the Justice Department, giving, requests, answering requests. And this is something that happens with every single institution, right? Every single financial institution has to cooperate with the Department of Justice, right? They'll be like, oh, yeah, like the banks have to do it. You know, if there's a customer that's a little bit, under suspect, and the Justice Department will request information and trade information. And that's real. That's happens to everything, right? So, but that got blown up, you know, out of proportion by Bloomberg, and they're like, oh, they're under investigation. Oh my God. Binance is not under investigation, but people on Binance are. Okay, just make that clear. And the same thing is happening with, I think, with this China flood. You know, I think most people don't understand China has already banned crypto exchanges. And this is why most of the time it's on OTC. I think to add to this too, if you guys actually talk to the OTC desk, they're actually rather unfriendly with peer-to-peer payments right now at this current point of time. So this has been something that's going on for a year or so. But right now it's just kind of like a reiteration that, yo, guys, calm down the hype a little bit. I think that's kind of the take on everything. So I think, yeah, right now, you know, Asia definitely dumped a little bit this morning, freaked out. I think America's dumped a little bit, but you know, I think we're still alive. I think talking about some, so let's get out of this topic. I think we addressed as much possible as we're ready. we got JC saying comments, says LOL, buy back Matic, everything is going to explode. And we definitely want to say layer two is finally catching on. I think yesterday Matic has just been an insane performer. So Polygon / Matic up here. Then we also have Phantom. We have lots of talk on layer twos. Now, the great thing about this episode is that we have an expert on layer twos, who's Ralph. So Ralph, you know, I guess, you know, you're building ScaleSwap. It's both on layer two. It's building a DeFi layer, doing a launch pad on there. Let's take your view on what's happening on layer two. What's your take on it? And then we'll talk a little bit about ScaleSwap. How about that?
Sounds perfect. So I'm very positive in general on the layer two stuff. What's going on? I think it's also pretty long time back. It was also backed by Vitalik and all kind of people saying that this is the solution to be for the intermediate also, but also here to stay. So especially until Ethereum 2.0 is out. I think the only thing was a little bit the problem that the L2 solutions, most of them were not completely ready, or they will be ready soon or whatever, you know. So it was hard also for the for the devs and for the projects to decide which L2 to go, you know. So we were also in contact with all the providers, and they are great providers and also with great backing. But at the end, the most mature solution was simply Polygon, you know. And so, therefore, we early on we decided to go that path. And thankfully, it's at the moment also a thriving ecosystem. It's not only, the separated layer two, you know, but it's really, if you have a look at the decentralized exchanges, but also the other applications on Polygon, it's really evolving. I think you're on mute, Michael.
Yeah, you're muted right now.
Still on mute, Michael?
Michael, you're on mute. Oh, he knows.
Oh.
Well, he said 1 second. Cool. I mean, so yeah, Polygon has been popping off lately.
Absolutely.
So congrats. So I guess I'll say a big congrats to you first. My mic was muted just now. But a big congrats, Polygon. Can you just describe how this is taking place? So like, I guess from your perspective, right? Like, do you believe that layer two? So I guess you have to believe that layer two is the solution, but why, right? But why? Like, I guess for people who, the issue right now, obviously, is that I think there's a big disconnect in understanding of layer two between the programmers and the general public. We all want faster transactions. We all want free transactions. I mean,
yeah.
Right now, if you go on Ethereum and you start trying to pay for transactions, like, my God, it's expensive, right? Oh, yeah. So we want a relief, right? Like if you look at TX Street right now, it's 140 Gwei for a transaction. That means right now to interact with a contract, right? So if you want to trade in Uniswap, it'll cost you $50, right? Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense. All right. it's crazy.
Yes.
I've got emails coming in, you know, like I actually get tech support emails. Like people are like, okay, I failed a transaction. I lost like $60. Like what the hell, right? So what's your take on layer two? So I mean, layer two, when will it come? Can it solve everything? I guess, why is it taking so long?
Right. I think it can solve pretty much, you know, of the pain points. So I still see Ethereum in a lead position, you know, from the whole community and stuff like this. And the projects also need to see that they find a good UI UX for the users, you know. The users don't want to do something completely different, you know. But being on Polygon, you know, even with the applications now, you're changing the network in MetaMask and you're on Polygon, you know. You don't even need to create a wallet because it's the same wallet like on Ethereum layer one. So there are no big steps, you know. The only step what you need to do is the value transfer between layer one and layer two. So this is the only thing, you know. But afterwards, when you are on Polygon, for example, the handling is like Ethereum, but X times faster. And the one transaction costs a fraction of a cent. So I was pretty heavily doing transactions, let's say, during the last days. I had 50 Matic on layer two. And I did, I think, around 70, 80 transactions. And now the balance is 49.96 Matic.
Wow.
And it's
Jesus.
Unbelievable. And, you know, beforehand, it was a little bit difficult because there were not so, not so strong applications and also liquidity, you know. But if you have now a look, you know, 1inch shortly joined Polygon. There are DEXs with acceptable liquidity like QuickSwap, DFIN, new player. Look at the total value locked, look at the volumes, you know, these are all going up. And you can also do now other things, farming, whatever you like, you know. So it's
so, so this is almost like BSC, right? You know, at the start, Binance Smart Chain, you know, it was taking a while to get traction, but when it got traction, it just happened like overnight, right? Like a week or two, and everyone seems to pop on it, right?
Right. So, but the good thing is, it's not a complete separate protocol, you know, and that's the big difference, you know. So also the state of transactions are mirrored back to Ethereum, you know. So you have that security layer also of tier one, you know. So therefore, it's a little bit different story than having a completely separate protocol. So therefore, I'm very positive, also because we are also built on Polygon, but not only because of that. Also, the market shows it, you know, where the direction at the moment goes.
Right, right. So I do want to ask you this, right? So okay, so you decided to build a Matic, right? Mm-hmm. And what's your angle here though, right? Because you know, it's if you're building a Matic, obviously there's going to be a lot of programs. I guess like, can you give a quick intro of what you're trying to do, and then I'll grill you on the hard stuff.
Right. So you mean in general with ScaleSwap, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah. So I guess, yeah, for people who haven't, you know, heard about ScaleSwap before.
Okay. So the very bold mission is to be the first fair IDO launchpad. Mm-hmm. So we did a lot of research, you know, and checked out competitors' weak points, pain points of the community, and tried to listen very strongly on that. And next to the high gas fees, what we were talking about earlier on, one of the main things was that it's based purely on lottery, you know. Some people were half a year on launch pads, you know, in the community active, but never were able to participate in any pool. So they are really frustrated, and we decided that we need to change something in that direction. So instead of just saying, hey, you need to have so many tokens staked or whatever, we developed six-dimensional loyalty scoring system. It's called ScaleScore. And only one of six dimensions is how many tokens you are holding. But the people with their loyalty to, you know, holding the token, how many tokens from the maximum amount do you still hold? How loyal are you to the platform and the projects that are launching? Do you provide liquidity, etc., you know? So these are all things that we measure with our scale score. And even if you don't have a big budget, but you are very loyal, it can appear that you have the highest scale score. And the scale score is the deciding element for everything on our platform. So if you have a high scale score, you get guaranteed pool participation. In weighted airdrops, you have the highest weight, let's say. You have the highest voting rights. Features will be unlocked. So it's a very central element. And I think it's definitely more fair.
I think that's kind of what's happening. I mean, we definitely know that at this current point, launch pads are becoming quite key, right? Because people want to participate, people want to get in on everything that's happening. But at the same time, obviously, I think there's a lot of people who are disappointed. I think you definitely see, you know, most of the FUD comes from people who are disappointed and angry, right? Yeah. It's like, it's becoming a point where if you ask, hey, is this project good? And if they say no, they didn't get in. If they said yes, they got in, right? That seems to be the current meta, right? So here you're doing something completely different with a new scoring system. So does that scoring system mean that, you know, you'll scan their wallets after and kind of figure out, you know, are they flipping ICOs? Are they really part of the same stuff? Like, is this not favoring flippers then in that case?
Yeah, exactly. exactly. It's having overall, it's six dimensions, and it's not only our SCAR token related dimensions, but as I said, also the projects that are launching, you know. So the active community members which are participating in pools or getting the tokens afterwards from DEX, they are having distinct advantages, let's say. Yeah, it's also being loyal and be able to earn, let's say, your participation level on the platform, I think. And this was very well received by our community. So they are very happy with this.
Yeah, I think that is that's a good way to measure people. Like I think that's quite novel. So it's just so there's kind of two kind of primary goals here. So one is obviously ScaleSwap is being built on layer two, using Matic. So you're like not the biggest Matic supporter in the world. And also on this kind of rating system. So yeah. So what's the tip for this rating system? So how do you get to view it? What's the status of, you know, viewing my score, how it works, etc.? How does that go?
Yes, it will be, you know, we will go live in less than 2 weeks. So most likely the first version won't have, let's say, the most fancy features around ScaleScore. But it will definitely have the basic things that when you are on our platform, you will directly see your ScaleScore, you know. So this is calculated right when you are accessing our platform. The calculations are taking place.
And will you change that over time? Like, is that how it will work? Like, as you adapt and as things go on, or is it like set in stone already?
Ideally, let's say.
You see, I'm trying to figure out if I can break the system. You know,
that's
the key here, right?
Yeah, let's say we had a long discussions also on all dimensions of the ScaleScore, and we tried to no matter also of in terms of the token price development, you know, to make it as independent as possible, and therefore we feel pretty comfortable that this that our ScaleScore stays as is. But you know, a lot can happen, you know, also with the market and whatever. So we might need to adapt.
You'd be like, this is as solid as we can, and then we'll leave it open if someone comes up.
right. We could also carve it in stone, but I think it would be a risk for the platform for now. So for now, let's say we feel comfortable that it's also for the long run a very suitable scoring system. Yeah, let's see. I think the only thing is for our own IDO, it doesn't give any results yet because you don't have the baseline, you know. So it can only work, let's say, with the first external project that is launching on our platform. So not for our own IDO. There is simply no data to analyze.
Got it. Okay. So how do people get involved now? Like, so if anyone's interested in the channel, if they're, you know, if they want to join your community, what's the best way to join a community?
I think the easiest way, you go to scaleswap.io, to our website. You have the links to social media. If you more prefer newsletters, you can register, let's say, with your email address right on the landing page. Yeah, if you want to get in contact, I would suggest to join our Telegram community. It's a lively community. Stan, my co-founder and CTO, is also active there, as well as I am. So for important questions, we are also always there and reply to that personally. And it's a good exchange, let's say, with the people. We say we are also we want to also make a difference in being transparent. You know, my point of view, this is not the strongest point of our competitors. You know. Also of the whole DeFi space, you know, all are trying to hide this or that, you know, and also conditions are not really clear and whatever, you know. So we try to be as transparent as possible, being honest with our community, manage expectations, you know. We're also aiming for a more sustainable model. This is a little bit a different topic. I don't think that IDOs of today will stay for forever. It's the model that at the moment works. It's kind of a scheme, and this scheme is for the bull market. You know, it doesn't work for the bear market, definitely not. And but the thing is, you can't change that. Hey, we are ScaleSwap, we change everything. You know, this doesn't work. We disappear from the radar. So our aim is to develop to the go-to IDO launchpad, to be in a strong position, and then gradually change also the IDO approach to a more sustainable model over time. So this is more the mid and long-term goal.
Definitely. I think this it's hard, right, for the sustainability. I think that's a great topic because, you know, I think crypto has not been moving in a sustainable direction for some time now, especially with,
right.
We're on the dog coin phase, right? We had the Shiba Inu, we had the Nate, are you still in those gogs? Are you suffering? Are you in a good position, dude?
Dude, I'm Nate Dog. I'm good, man. I mean, it is what it is. I'm not worried about it. Yeah.
I think it's all about risk control as well. I think that's one of the biggest kind of changes that like 2017 you will be different, right? You'll be like YOLO, but this time you're like, I know.
I know better.
Great. I know better. It's kind of funny because like we were talking about the whole China thing a little bit earlier, and I just got a text. This is from one of my family members, and they're like, "Oh my god!" You know, so what's happening right now is that on Chinese media, right? So they're using words like "phone sa." They're like trying to kill, you know, like shut down and kill crypto right now. So it's like both Reuters, so both mainstream crypto media in both international and in China are trying to kill crypto at this current point. So like the FUD, I think it's reaching its peak. It's kind of interesting. So I just got this now. That's why I was playing with my phone. They're like, oh my god. So like you're seeing all these news articles like in Chinese, and they're all flooding the crap out of crypto right now, right? Like it just feels like it's imminent death, right? It's kind of funny. And it's kind of funny also, it's like you see the comments in Chinese as well. They're like, I guess I can't really bring this up right now, but like, some people are like, oh, this should happen. It's kill crypto. It's like, I missed the boat. Kill it. Kill it. Kill it, dumbass. So, that's happening. But I think like this year, I think for Ralph, I think you've probably seen a lot like this year where this whole DeFi thing took off. Did it take off faster than expected?
To be honest, yes. In my point of view, yes. But it was also, I think, supported by the general market that developed so nicely. So there was a lot of money around. And this also amplified the whole DeFi stuff, you know. Yeah, because DeFi is if you like, most of the services are no new services. These are simply decentralized banking services. So it's also kind of like money management for crypto, you know. So what you are doing, you are on an exchange, you are depositing any kind of value, you know. And if the market is in favor, let's say, it's also heating up the whole DeFi scene.
I think the number surprised me quite a bit. Like I think that's, to be honest, like if you look at Uniswap, I think a lot of people were doubting Uniswap at the start, but all of a sudden, you know, it completely changed the entire game for almost everything, right? For like for altcoins, especially because now you can crowdsource your liquidity. I think if you look at the Uniswap stats, you know, billions of dollars are now locked, like from zero to billions. It's like, oh, that was fast. So I feel like there was a lot, and I think people are getting it finally. There are so many of these tools that you're so used to. I guess if you've been in DeFi for a year or two, or even for half a year, you're so used to these tools, and then when you go to the traditional banking institutions, you're like, why is this so outdated, right? Yes. Like I just had a friend who wanted to rent a place. He just recently moved to another country, and he's trying to pay rent, right? And he's just like, the banking system, like the traditional banking system, is a bloody mess. right? Like like doing something as simple as just like moving from one country into another, and you're trying to set up a bank account in another country. It's like, it's already a mess. But in crypto, it's so different, right? In crypto, it's like you get one click, you know, millions of dollars gets transferred, locked in a contract, boom, it's now providing liquidity. It's crazy, right? I think at the speed at which it work, at which we move in crypto, is just absolutely insane. So we definitely see that coming back again. I mean, if it wasn't for the China FUD, I think we saw a lot of movement on the DeFi side yet again. So yesterday we saw DeFi movements, I guess pretty strong DeFi movements. So I feel like this could be something that really comes back. I feel like this is you know, like especially Matic, I mean, you know, scaling. But on top of that, we had like, I think it was Ava, which was moving quite strongly. Sushi is up there as well in the movement. So I feel like this could be something that, you know, if the general public, if they really spend the time to look at what's happening in DeFi, I think they'll be quite impressed. They'll be quite impressed. And I just want to add this as a conversational topic, but like I had a call with one of my high school friends yesterday, and you know, they're now fully into crypto, right? It's like they're now fully converted this year. So I'm pretty glad about that. You know, I think 2 years ago they're all skeptical. This is for criminals, this is for druggies, this is like this is a big scam. But now they're like, oh man, this DeFi thing is insane. You can like we're talking about dreams in the future, right? Like say, like if you apply like NFTs to property, right? Like if you can you know, to convert a flat into an NFT and then use that to maybe fractionalize that, that would be kind of interesting. And then maybe like even think about some stupid stuff. Like right now, if you want to, you know, have liquidity in the housing market, liquidity is very low, right? So this is especially true in China as well, where, you know, you see very little movement in terms of flats after they're sold in their initial launch, right? But what if like you get all the homeowners to just like inject 10% liquidity into the market, right? And allow people to buy fractionalized ownership of something. I think like it's, I mean, it's out there. Obviously it's out there. I mean, there's a lot of legal issues here, but that was what we were kind of discussing, like shit, you know, all this possibility, because crypto just invented a million ways for different coins to have liquidity. Right. And, you know, this is great for illiquid markets. Right. So anyway, so they're kind of like describing labs. I was kind of funny. Like they're kind of describing like some of the concepts in labs. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But yeah. And I feel like this is something that's moving super fast. It's moving the tech is moving a lot faster than the legal infrastructure. Mm-hmm. But I think it's good. Yeah. How about Crypto Valley there? I mean, in Zug, you know, is Swiss very, you know, favorable to crypto right now? Like, are the laws favorable, or is it like, you know, not as good?
Yeah, the laws are favorable, I would say, but they also have an eye, let's say, on certain quality aspects or and security aspects from their perspective. But in general, it's a good jurisdiction, let's say, for blockchain-based ventures. And you also feel it, for example, I can pay my income taxes in crypto.
Nice.
So I think this is pretty unique. But already, I think, 3 years ago, if I'm not wrong, I was able to pay governmental fees in crypto. So the income tax stuff is now very, very fresh. But I think certain fees were already years beforehand possible to pay in crypto. So yeah, in general, it's a good jurisdiction. There are also some very close by jurisdictions which are pretty interesting, like Liechtenstein. So Switzerland is tiny, so and Liechtenstein is even a fraction of Switzerland. So really a very tiny country, but which is closely attached. They have, for example, a tax union, you know, Switzerland and Liechtenstein, but they are two sovereign countries. So right, and they also have a pretty favorable blockchain laws. Situation is changing also globally very fast, you know. You have then partially some jurisdiction which are in favor of crypto, but at a certain point it changes also. So in Europe there was also this place, one country, Estonia, which was in favor of crypto business, but which was also in the meantime a little bit more restrictive. Yeah, so it's a changing landscape.
We got Crypto Graham says I'm moving to Switzerland so I can pay speeding tickets with
welcome.
nice. I think that will be the day. I would love to do that too. Like if you scan a QR code, boop, you know, I can just pay my speeding ticket with that. So I guess on Nate, on your side, you know, as we wrap up today's episode, you know, what are you looking at in this time? Like, are you freaking out? Are you just taking some time off? You know, in crypto, how's your side going?
Things are great, man. Things are, I mean, I can't complain. You know, just seeing family. I didn't even know about the crash until we right before the stream. I was like, oh.
I aspire to be you one day. Like I have a problem, man. I have a problem. Like even when I'm like out and go doing stuff, you know, I still have to look at CoinGecko. You know, just have like power that phone up and CoinGecko that stuff. So, I admire that, man. I totally respect you for taking some time off. I think it's gonna be good to kind of share some thoughts. I think a lot of people who are panicking. Mm-hmm. I think they probably would feel a little bit, you know, kind of freaked out in this market right now, especially with the China flood. So I hope people, I hope we help go through this with all of you guys here. You know, we've been in this space for a long time. We've seen this a million times. It's not, you know, I'll be honest, I'll confess, during one of the times when I wasn't sharing my screen, I did buy some ETH. I just felt like it was the right time. you know, but that's crypto, right? Yeah. This is why I like these live streams too. I can like, you know, privately, yo, it's time to buy a little bit. It's time to buy the dip. So,
So what I want to say is like, you know, crypto is great. I've been full time in crypto, like devote my life to it, you know, since like 2016, 2017.
What's your tattoos, man? Crypto for life. And like, you know, you'd be like BitBoy and
eventually I'll get one. I already have one. So I don't know if I'm going to get another, but it's beautiful. But I mean, there's more to life. Like sometimes you just got to live life. You know what I mean? Like, cause my parents are getting older, my family, like, you know, one day, you know, they're not going to be around and it's like, I'm not going to be
shit. It's getting real, man.
Yeah, dude. Like I ain't trying to spend, you know, like crypto is great. But there's other things to do, you know, like you can go work out, you can go for a run, you can listen to music. There's a lot of things, you know, out there. So you, if you want to, you know, keep your mind off things, like, you know, call your mom, call your family, tell someone you love them. Like do something, eat healthy. I don't know. I feel like I'm just like some sort of
are you health nut now? Did you join a health cult? Is that yeah, I get it. I'll totally get it, man. Like I think like just sharing a little bit as well. I have a clip. I'm not sure if this kind of works on screen, but I was kind of like trying to get out of crypto because like you know, the crazy thing about crypto is that I think it doesn't stop. So I've been working like 12 hours a day and you know, a lot of times trading, farming, talking to people. Yeah. And I've been pushing the, you know, sprint button, right? Because I thought, you know, in 2020, you know, the markets were moving up finally. And I'm like, okay, look, if this is every time to really go aggressive now. And I've been slamming down on that sprint button for almost a year now. So I feel the exhaustion coming in. I mean, how do you deal with that, Ralph? I mean, like, you know, you seem like you've been working hard. It's up 5 a.m. in the morning for you. You're doing this. You know, how do you survive?
As we also talked a little bit before the live stream, what makes it a little bit easier from the feeling is that because of the COVID situation, let's say the trade-off is not so high, you know. So there are not too many things what you actually can do next to work. Okay, you can still do, you know, you can just still do sports or whatever. But it's simply limited, you know. So at the moment, and considering that we are pre-IDO, there are not too many other things, let's say, at the moment in my life. So it's really pretty dedicated to that mission. Nate is also right. You know, I think important also to keep the contact, let's say, with the outer world and not thinking, let's say, 24 hours in crypto. So there are phases, you know, which are very intense and very make sense, but at the same time also don't lose track of the rest of the world and what makes life also precious.
I think a lot of people get down in crypto. I mean, it's so easy to get torn down by all the news and the market's moving. And, you know, I was doing it this week. I mean, the support is coming, because I'm like rapidly eyeing the market this week, right? Because I'm trying to see where the support is. You know, it's the first time we're dipping quite low, and I do have money on the side ready to buy. Right. Mm. So right now I deployed around 20% of that capital to buy this dip. But I still have capital sitting on the side, and I'm kind of just like watching, like, to see how fear is spreading and how hype is spreading. Right. Like, you're kind of having these two factors, and you can see how volatile this market is, because yesterday it almost seemed to be a point where you know, everyone's jumping right back into DeFi again. DeFi is pushing up, and if that happens, you know. I think the market would respond positively. But today, obviously, we have the China FUD, and then it's freaked everyone out again. So it's like you have this super bipolar market right now. And I think Nate's right in a way. I think, you know, just taking some time and just being cool. And so I would definitely thank Nate to be on this channel as well. I think it's just like, thank you, Nate, for coming and sharing that with us. I think that's a great thing, like taking your time to do this. And I think, you know, combine that with this, I think we're kind of reaching peak China FUD at this current point. Like, when my family sends me messages that, you know, China's trying to like kill like Hongsta crypto, right? That was the words. If that was the case, I think, yeah, for me, that's a good entry point for me at the very least. So that's my take. I hope you guys had a good time, a good session today. Should we wrap this up, guys? I think we had a exciting time. I do want to say, Ralph, if you want to end and just talk a little bit about ScaleSwap, what people can do, and share a screen a bit, I think that would be awesome. And then we'll peace out.
Yeah.
Right. So let me shortly share my screen. As I said to you beforehand, we are pretty close to our own launch. So please visit ScaleSwap.io. We have, you will find directly the social media links. You can also subscribe. And I think nowadays it's also important to get or to feel confident also who is behind the project, you know, if they can also execute, what's their background. So please check that out. Myself and Stanislav, we're the co-founders.
The most important one, the most handsome one, right? The handsome CEO guy, that guy. That's Ralph Gurtis. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you very
absolutely.
Much. Thank you very that's much.
That's handsome guy.
Right? Oh, yes, yes. The picture is, by the way, 9 years old, but okay. the
you
reality
look like
is now
younger,
in video.
Though. Oh, what do you eat? You look like you're at least 5 years younger from that photo.
Oh,
so,
my God. Oh, my God.
So I guess this market is good for you.
Switzerland?
Thank you. Absolutely. That must be Switzerland. I think I'm very proud of the team. It's really a fantastic team. I think a very spread team. So we are across more or less all continents. And we have a great board with very... many people.
Yeah, I see the handsome Lester Lim. I see the handsome Garland Wong up there.
Yeah,
Asia exactly. Represent.
Absolutely, we are. Yeah, we have pretty and with the Jesse also, marketing Jesse, lead, very strong in the Asian market, and some really great backers also. Ben from A195 and Matt from Magnus Capital. Awesome. So very cool people on board with whom we work also frequently together. Also, we have big plans. So this is our roadmap. So still in Q2, and we have planned to launch, let's say, also with our go-to-market product, which is the typical IDO launch pad. But we will also already in the version 2, we will enrich that with a lot of further functionality. So you will see that, you can see that there is a certain systematic way: scale swap, scale drop, scale liquid, scale score, scale down. So we also plan.
Yeah, so many scales. You might be a lizard, right? Lizard race unite.
Yeah, so a lot is coming up, and we also try to develop mid long term more into an incubating role, which takes care also of more early stage ventures on their path. So moving a little bit away then from a pure IDO launch pad to a full blown service provider in that area. Please stay tuned. Stay tuned. Awesome. It will be still before end of the month, and we will have our launch.
Nice. Awesome. So thanks, Ralph, for coming. Thanks, Nate, for coming. I saw a few people on this talking about my plant. So this is kind of interesting. I have a plant always on my table. I have a plant, but look at that. It's growing massively. This is the bull market coming, guys. Look at that. Look at how many new leaves there are. That's like a ring of leaves coming out. That's like the plant's grabbing for some crypto, guys. So it's a crypto plant. This is like it. My plant's got a Twitter. My main Twitter right now is using Box Plant. So you know, if you ever see this, it's a Box Plant Twitter. So you can follow my plant on Twitter. And then see. Even look at that. This is a younger version of the plant, right? You know, like look at that plant versus. Wait, I need to share my screen. So this is this younger version of my plant, and you can already see. So right now it's growing, man. It's growing. Look at that. It's gonna be massive. This is the bull market coming, right? So
Michael, I think we need to farm it. We need to harvest now. We need to harvest.
Oh shit, guys. Oh shit. Harvest. No dump. Okay, no dump. Up only. All right. So Box Plant, follow Box Plant on Twitter.
Box Plant is Chad Plant.
Yeah, man. It's a Chad plant. It's not a normal plant. It's Chad. All right. Nice. All right, guys. So that's it. So guys, check out ScaleSwap. They're doing some cool stuff. Check out Nate's channel. He's doing like a lot of videos. And also, you know, best wishes to you. Taking a rest, Nate. I think it's much needed. I need that today. And I think that's good. I think that's a wrap for today's episode. Thank you guys all for tuning in. I think YouTube really picked up. So after like 20 minutes, well, YouTube finally decided to unbreak itself. So we're good on there. Thanks for everyone for tuning in on Twitter side as well, which we'll try to do more Twitter discussion too. So I hope you guys are all great. And with that, guys, thank you guys so much for watching. See you guys next time.
Thank you.